May God's grace, His peace, His abundant mercy be yours in Christ Jesus, the one who truly is the Son of God. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, Peter trying to walk on water. We pray. Lord, Your Word is near us. That Word is a lamp for our feet, a light for our path. May it shine brightly upon us and in us, Your church, this day. May we hear that Word and believe Your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just have faith. Just believe. There are times as Christians that we say that to each other. When sickness comes upon somebody, a disease they didn't know they had, and they're a bit startled, we may say to that person, just have faith. God loves you. Believe. It'll help you through. Or when tragedy strikes, we might say to someone, just have faith. Just believe. It doesn't make sense right now, but just have faith. Just believe. God works all things for our good. Or when someone is doubting, struggling in life, not really knowing where they're going in life, they're anxious about things, worried about things. Again, just have faith, brother or sister. Just believe. God will guide you. Just have faith. Just believe. Sounds so simple. Yet it is so hard, if not impossible. It is impossible apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. The readings today, as noted, are about faith, about believing. The gospel lesson is about faith, or lack thereof, by Peter and the other 11 disciples. What are we to learn about faith? It's a common topic in the church. We all talk about faith, believing. Do we really know what it means to believe and have faith? Well, there are three things I want to note about the gospel. It's about what we learn about faith, what it means to really believe in Jesus, to have faith in Jesus, the Son of God. What does that really mean for our lives? Three things, as I note, in the gospel. One thing I will note is that when you have faith in Jesus, when you trust Jesus, you have courage. You will risk things for Jesus. That's a byproduct of faith. It's really the courage of Jesus in you. Your risk for Jesus. Whenever we hear this, it's a very famous text of Peter trying to walk on water. One of the most common, popular texts that we have in the New Testament. When we hear this often, we chuckle at Peter. And we got to laugh at Peter, the poor bumbling fool, climbs out of the boat. We can picture him walking on water and sinking like a rock. Because he, after all, was a rock, Peter the rock. What a fool. How silly. How embarrassing. Well, I want to note that Peter here actually shows faith, doesn't he? And his faith leads him to courage, to risk embarrassment for Jesus, to risk his life for Jesus, walking on the water out in the lake with the winds blowing and the waves up high. What about the other 11? Jesus, after all, said, come to me. Peter said, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come and I'll come. Peter didn't just jump out of the boat and try it. He listens for the word of Jesus, come. And that word has promise in it. I'll keep you, Peter. I'll help you, Peter. Come. And how many come at Jesus' invitation? How many risk? How many have courage? Certainly six of them would have such courage. Half of them would come out of the boat, wouldn't they? Or maybe three? Or maybe Peter would have somebody else join him. Surely one out of 12 have the courage to get out of the boat when Jesus says, come. I suggest we should laugh at the other 11. They're a bunch of scared chickens. When the Lord says, come, you come. In that word is all the promise of God's love and protection in that word, come to me. And note, what Peter wants to do here in walking on the water is to imitate Jesus. And that's faith. He wants to be like Jesus. Peter does not ask Jesus, Jesus, if you can walk on water, I want to run on water. Let me run. Or let me do jumping jacks on the water. Or let me fly in the air. He doesn't want to show off here. He's not trying to show off. Look at how great I am. He just wants to be with Jesus. He wants to be like Jesus. He wants to imitate Jesus. Jesus, you're walking on the water. Can I join you? Because I want to be like you. You're my hero. You're my model. You're my leader. You're my Savior. And that is very commendable. And that's a byproduct of faith. Wanting to be like Jesus. Here Jesus walks on the water, but what did Jesus really come to do? Walk on water? No, He came to walk to Mount Calvary. A much harder task. To be beaten, mocked, spit upon, and crucified on a cross. That's what He came to do. And Jesus does not say, you're Christian, you want to model me, follow me? He doesn't say, now go walk on the Tennessee River today. Silly. What's that going to prove? He says, rather take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Risk everything for me. Risk your safety for me. Risk your life for me. After all, your life is my life. Be courageous. Have my courage in you. The most courageous person on this earth is not someone who goes and climbs Mount Everest. That's kind of foolish in my opinion. The most courageous person is someone who carries someone's burdens when nobody else will, and it's hard and difficult. Courage is not swimming with sharks. That's stupidity in my opinion. Courage is serving sharks, meaning a lot of mean people in this world that are sharks, and yet courage is loving your enemies like Jesus did. And serving those people when nobody else will and everybody else wants to get revenge. That's courage given by Jesus. That's faith. Courage is not flying in the air and doing stunts in the air. Again, kind of silly. Who cares? Courage is to forgive. And to forgive. And to forgive that friend or that spouse or that family member or that enemy. To forgive 70 times, 7 times. Because that's risky. You just might get hurt again. You might get stepped on again. They may do it to you again, and yet, as the Lord says, you forgive and you forgive as He forgives. Now that's courage given by Jesus to forgive. A second thing we learn here. When you have faith, you cry. And you cry. And you cry. And you cry out to your Lord continually, Lord, save me. That's faith. I suggest that Peter's greatest example here. It's not that he gets out of the boat, walks on the water. It's not really that. That's a good thing. It's not really that. Really, the example Peter gives us is that when he's sinking, he cries, Lord, save me. That's faith. What could have Peter done when he was sinking in the water? This is proud, arrogant Peter. Peter, when he's sinking, could have said, nobody help me. I'll get back to the boat and swam real quick. I'll get back. Don't help me. Isn't that what we usually do? I don't need any help. I'll do it myself. Especially when we're embarrassed about something we've done wrong. I'll do it myself. I'll fix it. Peter didn't do that. He didn't say, Lord, stay away. I'll fix it. I'll take care of it. I'll swim back to the boat. That's not Peter. Peter doesn't look back to the boat and say, come on, guys, help me. He doesn't ask the disciples for help. They're a bunch of scared chickens. They're not going to help him. They're still on the boat. How are they going to help him? He doesn't say, throw me an inner tube. An inner tube may not help him either. The waves are high right now. The wind's blowing. Who alone does he look for help? Jesus. Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Say with me. Lord, save me. That's faith. When we confess our sins in church, as we do every Sunday and Wednesday, very important part of the service. I hope you get here for that part of the service. Very, very important part of the service. With all those words that I've sinned in thought, word, and deed, all of that is saying what Peter says, Lord, save me. That's the summary of it. When we confess our sins, we are saying, Lord, save me. So don't go through the motions when we do that. Because we're sinking in the water, folks. There's sin, there's death, there's Satan, there's problems. Lord, save me. That's the confession of sin. Nothing else can help me. We don't say, Lord, help me, and I'll come 50% and help myself. That's not faith. Lord, I'll do my part, you do your part. That's not faith. God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps the helpless that are sinking. That's faith. Lord, save me because nobody else can save me. The doctor can't save me from sin. Education can't save me. All my money can't save me. Psychiatry can't save me. Nothing in this world can save me, but only you, Lord. No other God can save me, but you, Lord. Only you can save me from my sin and from death and from hell. And that is the epitome of faith. I am helpless. When we confess our sins, as Peter does here, and confess that we're helpless, that's a hard thing. We are admitting something that we never want to admit about ourselves, that we can't do something. And we only confess that as we're led by the Holy Spirit, convicted by the law, convicted by our circumstances of sinking. And notice what the Lord does as Peter sinks. Does the Lord ignore him for a while? Oh, just let you sink for a while, buddy. Teach you a lesson. That's not Jesus. He doesn't ignore him. Does the Lord say, I'll meet you 50-50, Peter, come on, you get up out of that water, you get up a little bit, and I'll grab down, I'll pick you up. You do your part, I'll do my part. That's not Jesus. Peter would sink and die there in the water if Jesus did that. What's the Lord do? Try harder, Peter, try harder. Come on, swim harder. Come on, you got the ability? No, Peter doesn't have the ability. He's sinking, he's dying. The Lord, the text says very vividly in detail and beautifully, the Lord reached out his hand and took hold of him. The emphasis of the whole story is on the work of salvation of Jesus. It's all Jesus. Peter does nothing but cry out because of his circumstance. The Lord reaches out his hand. It's all 100% the work of Jesus lifting him up, this dead sinner. You're saved. Have you heard of the long arm of the law? We need the long arm of the law at First Lutheran. No, we don't. We need the long arm of God's love at First Lutheran. God has a long arm of love. And when you read this story of Jesus reaching out his hand and taking hold of Peter, you should think of the water of baptism. Where the long arm of God's love, the long arm of God's hand reached down and grabbed you out of that water and saved you and redeemed you, made you a child, put you in the boat called the Christian church. And now we're sailing to heaven. Stay in the boat, by the way. Don't jump off. You should think of the absolution that Pastor gave today. In the stead and by the command of Jesus. He didn't give it. God gave it through him. When you hear, after you confess, I'm a sinner, I'm wretched, and the pastor says, in the name of Jesus, I forgive you your sins, there's the long arm of God's love, the long hand of God reaching down, saying, you're mine, you're washed, you're clean, you belong to me, don't be afraid, you're forgiven. And think of Holy Communion. Here you have the long arm of Jesus' hand. This is why in communion, this is symbolic. We don't have to do it this way, but we do it this way for this reason, or mainly for this reason. When we have communion, we don't just have a bunch of wafers and you come and self-serve. You know, take your wafer. We don't have a bunch of wine and you kind of self-serve. No, we bring it to you, and you see our hands, Pastor and I and the other, we hand it to you. And you, some of you are like babies, you just open your mouth. You're like a child. You're helpless. The hand of God's love through us giving you the body of Jesus. Symbolism. And, or else you have your hand out like a beggar on your knees. When else in life do you get on your knees and beg with your hands out? We're beggars. And the long hand and arm of God through us comes down with the body and blood of Christ. You are forgiven, son, daughter. God's lifting you up from sin, death, and hell. You belong to him. Get in the boat, the church, and stay in the church. And receive the ministry of Jesus. Faith has courage. Faith cries. And last of all, faith confesses. When you have faith, you confess that Jesus is the Son of God. The great conclusion of the text is that Peter and those in the boat, the disciples, worshiped him saying, truly you are the Son of God. They don't merely say, you're a good man, Jesus. You're a miracle worker, Jesus. You're a good guy. You're a prophet. You're powerful. But you are the Son of God. Let me ask you folks, who is Jesus? He is the
God.
And so we confessed in the creed today, didn't we? Light of light, begotten of the Father. When I read this text, and maybe the disciples thought of this too, I think of three men of the Old Testament that Jesus surpasses here in this text. Three great men of the Old Testament that Jesus here surpasses to show that he is the Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. Who in the Old Testament did great things with water? You're going to tell me these three guys, but the sermon's going to be long, Pat. Who in the Bible, who in the Old Testament did great things with water? Come on. Noah. You're mumbling to me. I can't hear well. So Noah's one. Noah built the ark. And did the ark stay on top of the water? Yes. What did the ark do? It saved people, saved the animals, saved creation. And so the Lord is walking on the water as if he's the new ark. You don't need a boat anymore, per se, an ark that Noah built. You need me. I'm the ark. I'm your new Noah. Abide in me. Trust in me. Let me reach out my hand to you and pull you up. Peter could have pushed him aside and say, no, Lord, I don't want it. Accept what he gives you, his hand. He's the new ark, the new Noah. All right, who else did something great with the water? You got one. Moses. What did Moses do? All right, by the power of God, part of the Red Sea. Did Moses have the ability to walk across the Red Sea? Did the people of Israel just walk across it? Why didn't God do that? Just walk across it. Because He's powerless. He's just a man. God had to part the Red Sea so these losers could walk on dry land. And many of them didn't believe they could do it. Jesus does not need to part the Sea of Galilee to walk on it. He just walks on it. He's the new and better Moses. Greater than Moses himself. And He delivers us not from Egypt. He delivers us from sin, death, and hell. New and better Moses. New and better Noah. And then I think of, you won't get this, and I think of Joshua. They come through the desert. And they're ready to go to the promised land. But then there's the River Jordan there. And how do they get across the River Jordan, these thousands and millions of people? Does Joshua walk across the Jordan River? No. Again, the Jordan River must be parted by God. And they have to walk on dry land because they're just human beings. Jesus walks on the water. He's the new and better Joshua. And He leads us not to a promised land over in Israel across the ocean. He leads us to heaven, the true promised land. He is the great one. He's the Son of God. He's the Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords, the only Savior of the world. Believe it. Trust Him. Abide in Him. All that in this text. Do you know Michael Phelps? I know your minds are on football now, but 7-5 I say this year, maybe, Pat. Michael Phelps, Olympic swimmer, is supposed to win 8 Olympic gold medals. He won his first last night, if you were watching. If Michael Phelps were here, what would you think if I introduced him and said, "Hey, folks, Michael Phelps is here. He's a pretty good swimmer. He only beat me by a yard in the pool, but hey, I'm pastor after all." And I said, "Hey, he's a nice-looking guy, isn't he, ladies? Nice-looking guy. Has a nice smile. Kind. Kind of humble. Michael Phelps, everybody." All that is true, but it's inadequate. I would say this is Michael Phelps, Olympic champion, who has won who knows how many Olympic gold medals. If I didn't say that about him, I fall short. And so you want to confess Jesus? You don't merely say He's a prophet, or He's a good man, or He's my friend. All that may be true. You confess He is God in the flesh, as they do, the Son of God. And in Him is the gold streets of paradise. That's what you confess. Then it's true. Then it's full. Just have faith, First Lutheran. That means as led by God, you have courage. It means you cry often for salvation. And it means you confess that Jesus is the Son of God. May God keep us in the faith. May God increase our faith. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.